Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Sports Desk. Your 950 KJR Sports Headlines.
All righty, boys and girls. Headlines on a gorgeous Thursday afternoon right here on 950 KJR. Of course, are brought to you by our friends at VenueKings.com.
Yes, there are a couple of butt holes.
Need tickets for the Seahawks preseason game against Denver. First game back with fans since December of 2019. Venue Kings get you in the door for less than $50. Check out VenueKings.com. Be sure and use code SOFTY at checkout for a little discount. All right, where do you want to start? NHL, let's just start there. First of all, the Kraken have made their first trade, sending Tyler Pitlick. I know you're jacked up for Tyler Pitlick.
I was hoping to get a jersey, actually.
The Pitlicker is on his way. Tyler Pitlick was drafted yesterday, and they were trading him today to Calgary for a 2022 fourth-round draft pick. By the way, the rest of the Kraken schedule, we know they're going to open up against Vegas on the 12th of October and the home opener against the Canucks on October 23rd. The rest of the Kraken schedule, we're hearing, should be released within the next 30 minutes. Nice. We'll have it for you live on KJR.
And new Kraken member Yanni Gord had shoulder surgery this week. He will miss the beginning of the season.
New Kraken member who?
Yanni Gord.
Yanni Gord!
There you go.
Going to miss the season. How about this? Michael Kendricks, remember that name?
Yes. He should be behind bars.
I'm glad we could bring that back.
2018 insider trading guilty plea 3 years ago. Finally got resolved. Here's what he gets. 1 day in jail, 3 years probation, and 300 hours of community service for Michael Kendricks.
He should be behind bars.
So all that consternation we had 3 years ago, worrying if he was going to miss games, it was one freaking day in jail 3 years later. Okay.
You ever do community service at all, of any kind?
Voluntary community service. Okay. Not forced community service.
Well, I have.
Really?
Yeah, okay. Twice, actually.
Wow. Yeah. The NFL has informed clubs that if a game cannot be rescheduled during the 18-week season window due to COVID among unvaccinated players, that team will forfeit and be credited with a loss.
Let's see. Mariners are back home tonight against the Oakland Athletics.
Yay!
Four-game series starting this evening. Sean Manaea versus Chris Flexen in game one of the series with the A's.
And here we go.
And now, two goofy, wacko, out-of-touch homers.
Just brutal radio. Just horrible.
Live. 41 yards.
From Elliott Bay.
Can you feel it now?
Hey, Seattle.
This is Softy and Dick.
Nobody ever here has done community service because you had to make up for an indiscretion that you committed?
Nope.
Nobody here?
No, I've never been arrested. Yeah. I don't plan to either.
Here, boys. Neither. I am, you guys scared now of me?
No, we always knew you were crazy in your younger years.
I'm an ex-con. Yeah, that's me. I got street cred. I know what it's like inside the walls.
Did you spend a night in a slammer?
Is this like prison Mike in the office?
I spent hours in a holding cell.
Was that for ripping off Bellevue Police Department?
Let's see, it was pay and pack. I got busted three times. It was pay and pack in Eastgate, Target in Factoria, and the Beat Alton bookstore in Bellevue Square.
What were you stealing from Pay and Pack and Target?
Pay and Pack was baseball cards. Target was an air filter.
And
B. Dalton was Penthouse magazine.
Okay, I can understand the baseball cards. Yeah. I can get the Penthouse.
Yeah. Air filter was, I wasn't technically stealing the air filter. Okay, you guys don't know this about me. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. I've mentioned this on the air a couple times, but I don't talk about it often. I went through a kleptomaniac phase when I was about 13 years old.
Yeah.
Okay. Which is the old five-finger discount type thing. And I was good at it, by the way, until I got caught three times and I gave it up. I was going down a dark road.
Okay. Three strikes, you're out.
I was out. I was like, you know what? I'm not doing that. But the Target Factoria incident was my first car was a 1980 Mustang. Which is not what you think a Mustang is. You think of a Mustang, go look up like a 65 or even a 2010 and then compare it to a 1980 Mustang.
Yeah, they went through a bad phase in the 80s.
Yeah, and imagine that car, but it was tan. Okay? Disgusting. Had no guts whatsoever. Dude, I'm talking 0 to 60 in maybe 5 minutes.
Wow,
okay?
What did they do to the Mustang
awful
in
car.
The 80s? That's
so
horrible.
I had to get an air filter for my car. So, you know, a guy like me, don't have a lot of money, whatever. I'm working at, I don't know, Barnaby's or Red Robin or Billy McHale's or
Farrell's.
Ernst, whatever the hell I'm doing. Yankee Diner, you know, slinging breakfast meals to people.
Jaffco.
Yeah, exactly. So I go and find the expensive air filter. And I swap it with the cheap air filter box and get caught doing it. All right. So technically, I paid for the air filter. I just gave myself a bit of a discount by taking the expensive gold-plated 5-star air filter and replacing it with the 2-star, as seen on TV, cheap air filter box. So and I got busted.
It's what happens when you find a really nice pair of shoes, and then you just happen to slip them in the cheaper box.
Yes. But they always check them now. Yes. I can't remember the last time I bought a box of shoes that they didn't check. And you know what they say to you? Just checking to see if they're both the right size.
Yeah, which is smart.
That's
they
what
should.
They tell them. Yeah, that's what they tell you.
Shoes are a valuable commodity now, right? It's a big deal. So, yeah, so I got, I had to do, I did community service at a nursing home where my job was to show movies to old people and then picking up garbage on the freeway for about 50 hours.
All right.
Yeah.
Did you enjoy that?
No.
Which one did you enjoy more?
Well, the old folks were fine because they all just fell asleep. So it's just me sitting there loading, you know, Wizard of Oz or Escape to Witch Mountain on a projector. All right. That was my gig. So,
you weren't showing any dirty movies, were you?
No,
that's
kind
of where your brain was.
No, I would not do that. Well, of course, I was 13 years old. Yeah. I mean, if your brain wasn't there either, I got to question what the hell you were thinking about when you were that age. But here we go. We got a lot to get to on the program, and I don't even know where to start, man. The NHL schedule is set to come out in a matter of minutes. I just got off the phone with a employee of the Kraken who tell us that they're going to have it.
Release the Kraken.
Hopefully, courtesy via email in the next half hour or so. We do know that the Kraken will open up in Vegas against the Golden Knights on the 12th of October on a Tuesday evening, and the home opener against the Canucks on October 23rd. How about this for a weekend? You tell me if this is a sports-gasm of a weekend.
All right.
Friday night, October 22nd, the Huskies are on the road in Tucson against Arizona. Saturday, October 23rd. We come back, and the Kraken will open up against the Vancouver Canucks. Sunday, you'll take a little bit of a breather, watch the NFL all day long, and then Monday, you and I will go to Jimmy's and do the radio show before the Saints play the Seahawks on Monday Night Football.
Yes!
Huh?
Yes!
Are you kidding me?
And those are the best kind of games because the Saints still have the cachet, and yet they probably suck because they don't have a quarterback, so we'll be able to handle.
Listen, you and I know what it's like to be exhausted. You got a couple of kids. I took my 10-year-old nephew last year or 2 years ago before the pandemic to Disneyland. And let me tell you, after 2 days with a 10-year-old at Disneyland, I was exhausted. Slept for a week when I got home. I think by the time Tuesday morning comes around for that weekend, you and me are going to be to Nap City, baby.
Yeah, it will be. I'll tell you what, this summer, I can't wait for those kids to go back to school because you just said the word exhausted, and I'm running.
Have you told your kids that, by the way?
Right now.
Have you told your son and daughter that?
Oh, they know I
love
being...
You know, we can't wait for you to get the hell out of here!
Well, they asked
me... Leave us alone!
They asked me today, what's wrong, Dad? Because I just crashed on the couch at about 12, and they're like, what's wrong with you? I was like, I'm just fried,
I don't
man.
Blame you, man. Well, there's a lot of stuff to get to. We'll keep an eye on the Kraken schedule, obviously. The Michael Kendricks news, in case you were all wondering what the hell was going on with him.
He should be behind bars!
He is going to go behind bars for one day. One day. And maybe there's guys that want to go behind bars for one day just to kind of see what it feels like. And maybe they want to get away from their wife for a day, or maybe they got a crazy relative living with them or whatever. Maybe they just want a day off of work. I mean, if you told me you can come in here and do this radio show, hang out with Dick and Jackson for a day, or you go to jail for an hour.
It's tough call.
I mean, it's like flying with a Blue Angel. You know, you want to do it, cross it off your bucket list one time, see what it's like. You know, jump off a 50-foot cliff, do it one time, see what it's like. I don't know if I would turn that down. One night in prison, just to get some perspective, if you will, to see what it feels like, and then really appreciate it when you get out, the fact that you're not in prison.
So there's really no appeal. appeal of going to prison. It's more just to appreciate what you have. It's like starving yourself for 24 hours so you appreciate the food you have more.
Well, I've done that for sure. I've fasted. I mean, I think all of us at some point have fasted, right? For whatever reasons, you know, physical, religious, whatever. But I don't know. I think it's kind of one of those things that everybody should do one time just to appreciate what you have to go through if you do commit a crime. Or what you have by not committing a crime. Because I think it would suck, number one. I mean, I'm claustrophobic, so for me being in a cell for 24 hours, I'd go bananas.
Oh,
I'd start
bored out of your mind.
Eating my elbow, number one. And then number two, getting out and really saying, man, that sucked, and I never want to do that again.
Can you?
I think to have that perspective would be good for people.
Can you walk into a police station and ask them to
put me
in
prison?
Jail?
I don't think so.
It's not something.
It costs taxpayers to pay for your food and pay for, you know.
I think you technically have to have a reason to be detained, right?
Okay. Right.
Like if you're a homeless guy, you haven't eaten, it's raining outside, or it's 118 degrees. Like, you know what? I'd rather be in prison than be standing out here.
Right,
you can't
right,
just
right.
walk into a jail cell and say, take me. Right? You got to give them a reason.
Well, you could ransack the place.
Well, there you go. That's committing a crime, and then you might be there for more than a night.
Yeah, more than a night.
So Michael Kendricks is a free man. 3 years probation, 300 hours of community service. This comes from the 2018 guilty plea for insider trading, and he spent last year with Washington. He spent the 2 years before that with the Seahawks, and I don't know. I mean, do we go down the Michael Kendricks road again if you're the Seahawks? You know, you need some linebackers, right? There's obviously a need for a linebacker on this football team. I thought when Michael Kendricks was here, he was a decent player. I thought he was better the first time than he was the second time, but he was also banged up, if I'm not mistaken. I would make a run at Michael Kendricks because the biggest reason why folks always said you can't do that is because you were always concerned he was a day away from having to go to jail and leave your football team. Well, that's now rectified. That's off the table. So for a football team that does have some depth issues at linebacker, would you look at bringing Michael Kendricks back? I would.
In addition to KJ Wright or instead of KJ Wright?
Well, I mean, I would rather have KJ Wright than Michael Kendricks, but if KJ's too much for you... or how about you bring them both in and let them compete for a job? I mean, you could bring anybody you want in, for God's sakes. I mean, look at the Seahawks roster and look at the list of linebackers they have on the roster.
Cody
right
Barton,
now.
Jordan yeah. Brooks,
right, Ben Burkervin,
BBK, yep. Aaron Doncor,
okay.
Nate Evans,
okay.
John Rattigan,
never heard
and
of those
a guy
guys.
Named Wagner.
Wasn't Nate
That's
Evans
it.
A hydroplane driver from like the Gold Cup back
yeah,
in the day?
Like the Atlas Van Lines.
I mean, three or four of those guys I'd never heard of. So if you can replace both of them or two of them with Michael Kendricks and KJ Wright, and maybe you keep one, cut the other. Yeah, go for it. Why not? I mean, what's the negative here?
No, there's no negative.
You're the guy that wants to sign. What's his name?
Sherman.
Yeah. No. The wide receiver, Josh Gordon.
Oh, Josh Gordon.
You want to bring him?
I say
back.
Bring them all in.
So if you want to bring him back, why not bring Michael
Gordon,
Kendricks back?
I want Gordon. I want KJ. I want Sherm. I want Michael Kendricks. Get them all in there.
You want them all.
Because there's a few positions, like linebacker and wide receiver, that I'm just a little concerned about their depth. I want to make sure that depth is okay.
Yeah. Well, the NFL, like we've said before, the way this is set up is beautiful. Because the NFL literally gives you an opportunity to try it out.
Yeah.
Right? They give you an opportunity to take something home. And if you don't like it, you can bring it back.
That's right.
It's awesome.
It's like a 30-day money-back guarantee.
Can you imagine? Like, you talked about shoes and how expensive shoes are right now. Like, I don't buy. I see people going crazy for tennis shoes, like Nikes and the LeBrons and all that stuff. People are actually, like, killing each other beating each other up for shoes these
see
days.
See these? $29.99 at Costco, boys.
But
how about that,
What's the most expensive shoe on the market right now? I got
like
no idea.
A tennis
idea.
Shoe?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure it's probably a Jordan.
Okay. How much? $500.
Look this up.
$400.
Yeah,
I have no idea what I'm talking about.
Oh, I don't either.
Okay. I mean, full disclosure.
Yeah, your wife works for Brooks.
My wife works for Brooks.
You don't need tennis
okay?
shoes.
Okay. So we're wearing Brooks. We're a Brooks family. All right. So I'm not buying Nikes for $1,000. What's the most expensive shoe on the market right now?
Right now, I'm seeing the Jordan 1 Retro High Electro Orange for $230.
Okay. There's got to be something more expensive than that.
But still.
I mean, that sounds, but that's crazy. But anyway, let's just stick with that. So how about if you go into a, I don't know, where do kids buy shoes now? Foot Locker? Big Five.
I don't know.
He's Fred looking Meyer. At me like he got no idea. Where do they go to buy shoes? Turn on the mic then. Where do they go to buy shoes? You think you know everything? Where do they go to buy shoes these days?
A little place called Amazon.
Amazon.
They don't go to the malls anymore.
But give me a shoe store.
A Big Five or a Dick's. Yeah.
Dick's. Okay. Yeah. So how about you walk into a Dick's?
Shoe is. I'll find out.
Yeah.
Right.
You walk into a Dick's and you say, first of all, give me two deluxes.
Yeah.
And a pair of the Jordan. What are they called again? You said.
Well, I just found another one. Okay. The Retro High Dior for $12,500.
Give me a pair of those and let me take it home. And if I don't like it, I'll bring it back in 2 days. Right. That's the point.
How'd you get to this point, by the way?
Oh, we're random today.
Oh, this is a Michael Kendrick story. Yeah, you got to listen to the whole show.
Well, I heard you say bring him back, and I say yes.
I did say bring him back. My point is that, Ian, if you want to jump in here, that's fine.
No, you put me on. I'm curious about the shoe thing.
The NFL allows you to bring the product home and try it out.
Yeah. Right?
So why would you not do it? Why would you not bring Michael Kendricks home, put him in a shopping bag, put him in your checkout cart at Amazon.com, have them primed over here or droned over here.
Can I read something?
If you don't like it, you send it back.
Let me read something to you just real quick because I'm in the process of actually building some graphics for something next week and was looking at positions.
Oh, Mr. TV guy over
here. No, but let me read you the linebackers. No, because I had just got to that point. Bobby Wagner, Aaron Donker, Ben Burke-Kervin, Jordan Brooks, Cody Barton, Nate Evans, and John Rattigan.
He just said that, by the way.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so exactly.
I can bring home
these Jordan shoes, and all I have is a pair of Converses that my dad wore in 1950.
You're left with a Cody Barton.
Exactly.
You're left with a Cody Barton and a BBK.
So I don't know why you would not bring Michael Kendricks in, at least for a look-see. Now, he's got to agree to do it. Obviously, he's 30 years old. He'll be 31 in September, so he's not 22, but he's not 45 either.
Still working out here, by the way,
There you go. And you would think he's got maybe a little more tread on the tire because the guy, simply put, just has not played a lot of games. He played one game for Washington last year. One. Okay? Four games for the Seahawks the year before. He was with the Hawks for 2 years, 18 and 19.
Yeah.
And then they let him go and he signed with Washington. So I'm curious to see how this thing works out.
He should be behind bars.
I am just very happy, though, that we have an excuse to play this drop again.
He should be behind bars.
And that is really the only reason why I want the Seahawks to sign Michael Kendricks.
He should be behind bars.
So we can play it over and over and over again. All right, so we are waiting for the Kraken schedule to come out. I don't normally do this. Normally we save this for a little Stats Are for Losers on Friday at 5:45.
Stats Are for Losers.
But we're not going to have a Stats Are for Losers tomorrow. I guess we maybe could have a Stats Are for Losers.
What are we going to be doing after the Kraken pick?
Are
we going to go through every pick on our show?
We are going to react to every pick on our show. You're not ready for it? You don't know all these guys?
No, absolutely not, nor do I have interest doing that. Aren't we just going to do a regular show tomorrow when it coincides with something important for the Kraken, that takes priority over everything else, and then...
Have you not seen the emails? They want us totally prepared for the NHL draft tomorrow.
This is why you got to be here like 2 o'clock. This is show meeting. Talking to the wrong guy.
Herman Stankenstunk from Germany. Young kid, 17
years old. You want to do an NBA draft show next week?
No,
I'm in.
No, we're doing the entire thing. But we may do Stats Are for Losers, okay? But anyway, here's my point. Normally, we save this stuff for Friday.
Stats Are for Losers.
Or what I'll do, this is a veteran move, I'll give it to you twice. I'll do it now and then save it again for a different audience for tomorrow at 5:45 on the radio show.
Yes.
So if you're listening tomorrow at 5:45 and this is repetitive, I apologize. We only have so much material that we can stretch for 4 hours every day, so you may see some stuff get repeated. Chris Flexen is pitching tonight for the Mariners. Have you looked at this guy's numbers, dude, for God's sake?
Yay! Insanity.
And what he's done. First of all, I think it's one of DePoto's greatest moves. I don't know if there's a Mount Rushmore of moves made by Jerry DePoto in Seattle. I don't even know if there's four of them to build a Mount Rushmore. I mean, would there be? Just off the top of your head, getting rid of Robbie Cano's contract.
That's number one.
Would be on there for sure. My point is this Chris Flexen deal so far would absolutely be on there. Chris Flexen has started 17 games for the M's. Tonight's the 18th. You know what their record is in the games that he started in the 17 games?
What?
It's 13-4. You know what the record is in games that have been started by Chris Flexen and Logan Gilbert? 22-6 in the 28 games. Flexen is at home tonight, where he's got a 6-2 record, a 1.76 ERA, And in his last seven games total, he's 6-1 with a 1.7 ERA and a .211 batting average against. I mean, this guy's got to be a comeback player of the year candidate.
Absolutely.
He was in South Korea. Literally had to come back to the States. And I'll give you one more. He's allowed 37 earned runs in 17 starts. 18 of the 37 have come in three games for a 12.79 ERA. The other 14 games, he's got a 1.97 ERA in 14 of his 17 games. Four of every five times this guy takes the mound, he's been unbelievable. And in 10 of his 17 starts, he's allowed one run or less in 10 of those games. He's your best pitcher right now.
And because of that, if you wanted to, if you asked me, all right, paint a reasonable scenario how the Mariners stay legitimately in the playoff race all the way through the rest of the season. The legitimate scenario is simply this. Marco Gonzalez finds himself.
Right.
Doesn't have to do anything he's never done before. Just find wherever the Marco went.
Yeah.
Bring that guy back.
That's a great
idea.
And
Yusei Kikuchi pitches like he did in the first half of the season. You show me those two along with Gilbert and Flexen.
Yep.
That paints a picture of a potential 90-win team that stays in the race the whole year.
Well, Flexen's been better than Kikuchi has. I mean, Kikuchi's the all-star, but Flexen's got an ERA over a half a run lower than Yusei does. And I guarantee you this, that he does not have a run the way that Flexen has. Kikuchi. So good for him. It's great that he's bounced back from the disaster of 2020 and 2019. But Chris Flexen has been consistently the best starter this baseball team's got, and he's on the mound tonight against Sean Manaea. All right, 321. You want to talk some dogs? Can we talk some dogs? A lot of Kraken, a lot of Seahawks, a lot of Mariner baseball. Deservedly so. I want to talk some Huskies.
I've never in one time ever heard your radio show.
Greg Lewis, the newest member of the Husky Honks, in case you didn't know, will join us next.
It's Kraken Week. Now back to Softy and Dick on your home for the Seattle Kraken and the NHL. Sports Radio 950, KJR.
I always wonder when, you know, a few hours go by, a couple days go by, and somebody has a chance to digest a decision, if they feel the same way after a couple of days that they felt on the day the decision was made. And a couple days ago, we announced here on the radio show, Dick, that Cam Cleland was going to be joining Tony Castricone as the new color analyst for Husky football, and that Greg Lewis, who we've known for a long time, as a matter of fact, was going to join us on the Husky Honk Show, not just on Tuesdays, but also pregame, postgame on Saturdays. And Greg was pretty fired up, I think. He was excited in studio.
Yes, he was.
And I wonder now that a couple days have passed, do you still have that same enthusiasm?
Doesn't sound like it.
Wow. That's your cue.
I'll tell you what. I'll tell you what. I'm excited because little be known to you guys, somebody called and told me that I get to run the whole damn show. So I'm fired up.
You know
I'm
what?
I'm really excited now.
That's totally fine by me. You can have it. You can run that show into the damn ground if you want. Well, we're jacked up to have you joining us on the Honk Show, man. And, you know, honestly, I mean, a lot of folks have reached out to me. You know, what kind of reaction have you gotten from people that you know?
Well, a lot of people reached out and congratulated me. You know, I've been doing the media stuff for, I don't know, the last 7-8 years, and this will be an opportunity to really, really connect with some great Husky fans. So I'm excited about it. Everybody who I know is going to be listening. So we just upped the viewership by about 3 people.
Well, what I love about you, G. Lou, is I know you always take a stand. You've got an opinion on things, and that's what we love about the Husky Honk. So I want to hear your opinion about the one Pac-12 head football coach that is not going to media day because he's decided he's not going to get vaccinated.
Well, I'll tell you what. When the vaccinations rolled out, I was scamming the internet to try to find out how I could get myself in line real quickly because, you know, I take this whole thing pretty dang seriously. I think that is a matter of health, and we should all be looking out, not for ourselves, but for those who we come in contact with. So I think, you know, I'm not going to comment on him specifically, but I think that getting vaccinated is important. And it's his choice. He made the decision, and I think it does hurt his team a little bit when you think about the publicity that they may not get or negative that they might get because of it. So, you know, as a coach who's leading young men and young people, I think he probably should have made a different decision. But, again, that's his choice.
Well, you know, here's the thing, though, and Puckett made this point today about, is it Jihad Woods, is that right, Ian, going down there to L.A.? Jihad Woods and Max Borgi are going down there to meet with the media, and Rolovich is not, and he's basically leaving his kids to go down there and answer questions about him at Pac-12 Football Media Day. And, I mean, I totally agree with Jason. He's created this sideshow story that didn't even need to be created, and he's sending his kids down there to answer questions on behalf of him because he's not going to show his freaking face down there in L.A. So we'll see how big of a story this becomes. But Jimmy Lake is going to be going down there. Trent McDuffie, Jackson Kirkland going down there. I asked John Wilner on the show the other day who we thought was the best player regardless of position, Greg, in the Pac-12, and he said Drake London, the wide receiver from USC, he thinks is the best player. I'm not going to ask you about the conference. I just want to talk about UW. Who do you think the best player, regardless of position, will be by the end of the year on this Husky roster?
Well, first of all, you got to remember I'm a running back, so I appreciate the big guys up front. Yep. And nobody, to me, is a better Husky player right now at this moment than Jackson Kirkland. One, because he plays such an important position on that whole offensive line as a leader. He's been around for a while. He started for 4 years, so he brings that aspect to the game with him. And just his ability to move to left tackle, which has got to be one of the most important positions on the field, protect the quarterback's blind side. And we're going to have a young guy back there, whether it's Dylan Morris or whomever. So I think he's, because how important the position is, his experience, and just what he's been able to do, moving positions and all of that great stuff, Jackson Kirkland is the best player on this football team.
Well, let's talk about that running back position, because normally depth is a good thing, Greg, but this position might have too much depth because there's only one football that you can hand to five different guys. So how do you rectify that situation over the next month if you're John Donovan and Jimmy Lake?
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Well, first of all, I get real about how much depth do I really have. And what I mean is which players are Pac-10 championship caliber players on your squad. And although everybody can play and has a role and, you know, has some experience, I think about who are my best two or three guys that can help me win a conference championship. And because of that, you know, I really like Richard Newton is just a touchdown scorer. He gets in the end zone. This guy finds it. He runs hard, breaks tackles. And Cam Davis looks like, you know, to me, an NFL-type football player. He catches the ball out the backfield. He can make guys miss. He can get down the field. And then, you know, you take your guy who can make big plays. Last year, I think Sean McGrew made the most big plays in the running game overall. And so you can, you know, put him in there a little bit. And then you kind of stick with that. You stick with that. You have a package for those guys a certain time in the game where they play, and you roll with that. I was shocked at how many carries and touches Tamari Pleasant got last year, to be honest with you. And I'm interested to see how they come out at the beginning of the year. But I would roll with those three guys because that's your real championship quality depth to me.
Yeah, Greg Lewis with us. There's been a lot of, I think, consternation about the wide receiver group. Do you share kind of that nervous energy about them right now?
Well, I think there's consternation because we had some guys leave, and we saw Puka Nacua make some big plays, but it hasn't been a consistent group, so that probably is why people are questioning it. But I tell you what, Tosh Davis looked good this spring. I watched him quite a bit. We got a transfer named Jalen Polk who's from Texas Tech who made some big plays, and I thought Rome Odunze came on last year pretty well, and Terrell Branham has just been steady and consistent. He's made some big plays in his Husky career. And, of course, Jalen McMillan came in with a lot of hype, a lot of stars, recruiting rankings. If he can live up to who we think he can be, I think the receiving group will be all right. Matter of fact, I would go out on a limb and say the group this year is going to be better than last year. And maybe one of the other transfers, Giles, I think Jackson, has a, you know, a big play ability in him as well, also in the return game. So I think the receiving core will be better than people are giving it credit for, and I think it'll be better than it was last year.
What is your confidence level in the quarterback position, and who are you expecting to see? And what I mean by that is, Are you expecting a 100% snap count for Dylan Morris? Are you expecting potentially a series here, a series there, a legitimate competition in camp from O'Brien?
Well, in camp maybe, but once the season starts, you know, you got to go with your guy, and I think Dylan has the clear advantage there, not only because he played last year, but I think he did some really good things. And thinking, you know, a freshman, new offense, new offensive coordinator, with all the crazy things going around and not being prepared, and he was able to look as good as he did, I think with this offseason, spring ball that he just completed, the kid's shown that he can be a college-level quarterback. O'Brien does give you an insurance policy of a guy who's been in the trenches, gotten a lot of snaps, so if he falters, you can go that route. And also, let's say if someone got injured, this is football, it does happen. I think then, you know, you got the big arm freshman with all the hype. I would rather redshirt him. Yeah. But, you know, we've seen this before at a high level. Thinking about Clemson a few years ago, they came in with an experienced senior quarterback, and after about four or five games, even though they were still undefeated, they brought in a guy who ended up being pretty good, who had that same kind of hype as a freshman who led him to the national championship. So I think all things can be in play, but I would expect Dylan Morris at the beginning of the season to have every opportunity to be the guy throughout the whole year unless he falters or gets hurt.
Yeah, well, Greg Lewis with us. And, Greg, just to wrap it up with the newest member of the Husky Honks here, what is the best thing this football team does on paper right now, and what is the one thing that you think would be the biggest concern about them heading into fall camp?
Well, I think there are two things that have to bode well for a championship quality team, because you always say you win with defense, and some pundits have this ranked as high as the number four defense in the country, and you also say you got to be able to run the football. And the offensive line, some people rate it as the third best offensive line in the country. So I think those are the two things that they can bank on. They're going to play good defense, so they're going to be in every game. They should be able to run the football, protect the quarterback to give the offense a chance. I think we talked about it a little bit. The wide receiver position is probably the one area where, you know, somebody's going to have to step up and be that playmaker that the other defense is scheming against every week and trying to stop and moving a safety over to open up other guys. So we got to have a big play receiver come out of the mix. I believe the run defense will be improved. I think Jackson Sermon was actually the most improved guy on the defense last year during that shortened season. So I think that'll shore itself up. So look for a receiver to step up, and we'll lean on our defense and we'll lean on our running game.
I love it. Greg, we're going to lean on you the entire year as a newest member of the Husky Honks. Can't tell you how fired up we are to have you on board, baby. We will be hitting you up a lot between now and fall camp. So be ready for that phone call, and be ready to go at it with Dick Baird and Cam Cleveland all year long, man. Great stuff, and we'll talk down the road, buddy.
Thanks, man.
Go Dogs!
Let's do it. Go Dogs. Greg Lewis with us. The Kraken schedule has been released.
Release the Kraken.
Literally release. We'll go over it and tell you who they open with, when's the opener, how many games on the road, when's game number two at home, are there any conflicts with UW, the Hawks, whatever. The Kraken schedule's out. We're going to tell you the highlights next on 950 KJ.
It's Kraken Week. Now back to Softy and Dick on your home for the Seattle Kraken and the NHL. Sports Radio 950, KJR.
All right, the Kraken schedule has been released.
Release the Kraken.
Here's what we got. We knew yesterday that the Kraken would open up October the 12th at the Vegas Golden Knights, and that has been confirmed. It was confirmed by the Kraken yesterday, so we knew it was official.
Right.
They're going to play five road games before they come home and open up again on the 23rd of October against Vancouver. The Kraken will start at Vegas, go to Nashville, Columbus, Philadelphia. So Dave Haxtell goes back to Philadelphia to coach against the Flyers on Monday night, October the 18th. And they are at New Jersey on the 19th before they come home for four games. Vancouver Canucks will kick it off at home on the 23rd at Climate Pledge Arena, followed by the runners-up, the Montreal Canadiens on October 26th, the Minnesota Wild and Paul Allen on the 28th of October, then the New York Rangers are here in town on Halloween on October 31st. So five on the road, followed by four at home. I'm looking at it from a Seahawks perspective, and obviously this does not include any Monday night potential conflicts, but from October, November, December, there are only three Sunday dates for the Kraken. Sunday on Halloween against the Rangers, the 21st against the Capitals of November, And then December 19th, they are home against the Maple Leafs. So we can check the Seahawks schedule and compare it to those days. But that's cool. Only three Sunday games during the NFL regular season. There is a game on Sunday, January 23rd. I don't think that conflicts with the NFC or AFC championship, but it might conflict with the playoffs. We'll have to double check on that. And then there's a couple of Husky conflicts. Saturday, October 16th, the Dogs are home against UCLA and the Kraken play Columbus. October 23rd, the Vancouver game. The Dogs are off that day because they got Arizona the night before. November 6th, they're at the Coyotes, and they play Oregon that day. The Huskies do. November 13th, home against Minnesota. Huskies are also home against Arizona State. And then Saturday, November 27th, they play Florida. The Apple Cup is the day before, but on that day, the Kraken are also in Tampa against the champion Lightning.
And we don't know what time the Apple Cup is.
We don't know what time the Apple Cup is yet, no. Edmonton is a December 3rd home game, and I bring that up because that's the same day as the Pac-12 championship game for Washington. So this is what happens when you have multiple franchises.
You finally have scheduling issues.
You have conflicts all over the map, and I freaking love it!
Oh, absolutely.
You've been waiting for this forever!
It's going to be the greatest 4 months that we have had in a long, long, long time. And boy, you can just tell, if the rest of the NHL schedule is anything like the Kraken schedule, they are avoiding Sundays like the plague. They're like, we are not even going to go near the 50 million pound gorilla that is the National Football League.
Well, they're not stupid, obviously, right? I mean, there's a reason why. They've been able to survive because they want to grab as many eyeballs as they can. So Halloween Day, the Seahawks are at home at 1 o'clock against the Jaguars, and the Kraken play the Rangers. I assume that's an evening game, so you could potentially go watch Trevor Lawrence and the Jags at 1 o'clock, and then turn around and skew it up to Queen Anne and go watch the New York Rangers against the Kraken. That's going to be a hell of a day. November 21st, the Capitals are here, and on that day, the Arizona Cardinals are also here in town. So another potential double dip between downtown and Queen Anne. And then December 19th, the Seahawks are at home against the Rams, and the Maple Leafs are in town. So if all three of those Sunday games are night games, you could realistically, unless that Rams game got flexed to a Sunday night game,
which it could,
go watch all three Seahawk games, jump in a Lyft or an Uber or a cab, or take the monorail and get your ass up to Climate Pledge and watch the crack.
You know who's going to make a lot of money in those days? Those Alaskan Way rickshaws.
Yeah.
Because that's what I'd do.
Right.
Give me a pedicab right down the waterfront, right up Broad Street, and right to Climate Pledge Arena.
Yeah, you know, that right there is, you would get in one.
Absolutely.
Okay, gotcha. I was going to say, you wouldn't pull
instead
one.
I'd get in one versus, I mean, here's, versus doing what they all want you to do, and that's, let's wait for a light rail at the stadium. Let's walk to the stadium station, wait for a light rail.
Right.
Take it to university, get off, wait for a monorail, take it to climb. I mean, I might get there by the end of the second period if I do.
How far is Lumen Field to Queen Anne? I mean, that's a hike, right? I mean, if you're getting into a rickshaw, that's somebody literally like dodging traffic going down Fourth Avenue.
No. You just go to waterfront.
All the way?
Absolutely.
And then up the hill?
Oh, they could drop me off at Aqua.
Yeah, and you're walking up the hill
in a
freaking rainstorm? I thought you meant that you would actually do the rickshaw. Would actually carry the rickshaw. Because that's one of those things that
sounds
good in
theory. No, I'd ride a rickshaw for like the whole family.
Right, but then when you actually do it, you're like, this is like getting into a hot dog eating contest where I can do 12 hot dogs easy. And then by like number three,
that was a bad idea.
Right. So the schedule's out. Do we have a link to this up on the website? I assume we will at some point. We'll get that up. But the Kraken will open with five consecutive games on the road. Vegas, Nashville, Columbus, Philadelphia, and New Jersey come home against Vancouver on the 23rd of October, followed by the Canadiens, Minnesota, and the Rangers. The season will end, by the way, on April 29th against the San Jose Sharks. So if you want to follow them on the road, how about this? November 6th and 9th, they are at Arizona and at Las Vegas.
There's a road trip.
On the 6th and the 9th. Find out where the Seahawks are on November the 7th.
I'll tell you, November 7th, the Seahawks are off.
Okay, because that would be a great day to have them play in Arizona and do both of them back-to-back. At Arizona, at Vegas, November 6th and 9th. You want to get to the East Coast, November 26th through the 29th. They are at Tampa, Florida, Buffalo, and Detroit against the Red Wings. Get down to California, December 14th, 15th. They're at San Jose, at Anaheim. Get your booty up to Canada. Hopefully the border's open going both ways by then. December 23rd, 27th at Calgary, at Vancouver. They got a Dallas, St. Louis back-to-back on January 12th and 13th. They've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 four-game road trips that you could pick from, including one in March where they go to Arizona, Anaheim, and then back-to-back games against the Kings. So, yeah, I mean, it's awesome. Just looking at this is freaking awesome. All right, 355. Here we go. Petros Papadakis, courtesy of SweetJames.com. What does he think of the Nick Rolovich story? What does he make of all that? Is he ready to jump on the Kraken wagon? This is a Greek mythological figure, the Kraken, right, for sure?
Is it Greek?
I think it is. Okay. I think it was Zeus that ordered Kraken release by his brother Poseidon in that? Clash of the Titans. And he's jumping on the Giannis wagon, comparing him to every famous true. Greek figure of all time on his Twitter account. Why not have him jump on the Kraken wagon, too? Petros Papadakis will join the radio show coming up next right here on 950 KJR.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.